Not just the death of you, the death of death. That's why, spring of the year, during the Lenten season, around Easter, it is so rough on the subconscious of the unregenerate. And the whole world is in a turmoil psychologically, psychiatrically, emotionally, especially in the spring, because we're approaching the time when the church celebrates that cosmic, eternal act of the death of death. And the devil must know, but he doesn't want to believe, that he's defeated and death is doomed. But Jesus came out of it and ascended. And in the ascension, humanity is wedded to God. See, in the cradle, through the womb, deity wedded to humanity and yet remains God. In the ascension, humanity wedded to deity. You see, not just a spirit. Please don't think resurrection is just a spiritual deal. It is biological. It is physical. Jesus came up out of that tomb. I have friends who've studied the Shroud of Turin, and they really are convinced that the Shroud of Turin is authentic. And I have talked to these two doctors at Duke, Ben and his wife, who've spent hours studying the Shroud of Turin. And I've said to them, in all of the research, have you found one slight indication that he left a fingernail or a hair out of the tooth? He came up, locked, stock, and barrel. Changed, gloriously changed, but alive. And began to appear to these wonderful, devout, believing disciples. And spent 40 days proving in infallible ways, Paul says, that he really is alive. Finally, on the early morning, they were out fishing, going back fishing. What's the use? I thought, really, God is going to do it this time. Have you given up on God? Suppose you're concerned. Do you think God's through with you? You're in for some glad surprises. These boys really thought they, you know, well, let's go on back. We know how to make a living fishing. Fished all night, hadn't caught a thing. Early in the morning, a voice. Caught anything? No, nothing. Cast your nets on the other side. And not understanding, it wasn't a rational response, but just instinctively, they obeyed the voice of the Lord, not knowing it was the Lord, and cast their nets on the other side and caught 153 great big ones. Old Peter looked and said, boys, there's only one fisherman who knows how to do this. And he didn't have on any clothes. I don't know if you caught that in the Bible or not. Well, it's not unusual. I used to, my grandmother Tyson, after granddaddy died, she moved down below Newbern and lived on the river down there. And I'd go down and go out in the Neuse River floundering, often at night, without any clothes. It was back in the days before boys had bathing suits. you know, and we'd go to the river, and nobody was there except us. Well, you know, that's what these boys do. So Peter saw Jesus. He grabbed his father-in-law's coat. If I were an artist, I'd want to paint a picture of the big fisherman running through the water with the tail of his coat, riding the waves, you know, getting to Jesus. And got to Jesus. And he knew it and yet couldn't quite believe it. And there stood Jesus with a fire and a fish already broiled. You thought he was a poverty case waiting for you to bring your fish, didn't you? No, he's got his own. He's got his own. I said to a priest friend of mine once, Father Jerry Cleaner, he's a real buddy, and I said, Jerry, Did you ever think, what kind of fish was it that Jesus brought? He said, you mean you don't know? I said, no, I don't. Oh, he said, the answer is very simple. It was holy mackerel. But Jesus took a piece of the broiled fish, honeycomb, and put it in his mouth. And you can just almost see him chomping and eyes dancing. And he looked at Peter and said, ghosts don't eat. Ghosts don't eat. Children, he's redeemed humanity. Mind, spirit, body, redeemed humanity. And has redeemed humanity, went into the heavenlies and was wedded to God on the throne of the universe. In the cradle, deity married to humanity, remaining God. In the ascension, humanity wedded to deity and yet remains humanity. Every report from heaven since then comes back in terms of Jesus. I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. John of the Isle of Patmos saw the throne room, and on the throne, a lamb as it was slain. Jesus resurrected humanity. Now, what does he choose to do with that ordination? King of kings, Lord of lords, all power in heaven and on earth. I did it for you. And I'm going to give you the privilege and the means whereby you can exchange what you are for what I am. And I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the other one, the Paraclete. And he's going to come to you. And as you open to the Holy Spirit, in that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, and he's in me, and I'm in you. See, he's not just our Savior, he's our salvation. He's not just our healer, he's our help. He's not just our life giver, he's our life. And he's our life in every cell of our being. And the Holy Spirit, working within us, honors us as God's chosen and says, I give you the freedom to exercise your will. No coercion here. Knock. If you'll open the door. And there from within, we meet Jesus. Now, the real death to self, in my understanding and experience, is not for the Christian to go around trying to kill yourself, but to reckon yourselves dead in Christ, but alive in Christ, and say yes to Jesus. And in saying yes to Jesus, you're saying no to the old humanity. See, yes is the backside of a no. Yes is the backside of a no. When Kit Little John asked Brenda to be his wife, I don't know that this took place, but it should have. That she sort of smiled, extended her hand for that ring. Then he saw a shadow on her face. And he said, what's wrong, Brenda? Don't you like the ring? Oh, yes, it's wonderful, and I love you. But I was just thinking about all the boys I have to give up. Now, I don't know how many boys she had to say no to. And she didn't have to go to them and say, I will not marry you, I will not marry you. All she had to do is say to him, I'll marry you. And in marrying you, she settled a relationship with everybody else. And when you get married to Jesus, and that's what it is. That's why Catholic sisters wear wedding rings, you know. Because they live out sacramentally what the church is teaching about all believers. They have Jesus for their husband. Don't ever think a nun is not married. They're wedded to Jesus. And they live sacramentally what our life is all about. We're wedded to Jesus. He's the bridegroom, isn't he? We're the bride. And so the Holy Spirit starts at working. He knows the old egocentric nature. And he knows how we want to pamper self, exalt self, and be on the throne. All he knows that. Jesus took it. So the Holy Spirit knows how to write the yea and amen in the heart. I'll take out the heart of stone. And I'll put in the heart of flesh. And I'll write the laws of God in your innermost being. And I'll give you the desires of your heart. And as we yield and say yes, sometimes it looks as if it's the worst thing that could happen to us. Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? Well, try me and see. Lord, if you let me know for sure that I'll be protected, try me and see. You know, say yes to me. Give me the reins. Trust me. And all right, Jesus, I don't understand, but I'll do it. And saying yes to him, there's the no, the other choices. And you yield in that obedience, and the old man dies. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And it's learning to live in that glad yea. I want to close with telling you, in his words, one of the greatest insights that's ever been given. It was what Rufus Mosley calls the reverse side of the cross. And here is the way he expressed it. When Jesus came to us, we put him on a cross of sin and shame. When we come to Jesus, he puts us on a cross of bliss and glory. We put him on a cross where he became our sin. He puts us on a cross where we become his righteousness. For our sakes, he became sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. We put him on a cross where he gave up the Holy Ghost and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We come to Jesus. He puts us on a cross where we receive the Holy Ghost and cry, Abba, Father, and have the witness within ourselves. His was a cross of descending into hell. Ours is a cross of ascending into the heavenlies. And we are citizens of the heavenly world, in heaven, on the way to heaven. And so the glorious privilege of the Christian is learning to live increasingly in the glad yea and amen. And when you run into a situation where the old humanity is reluctant to give in, just go to the cross. Jesus has already conquered it. Lord, for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross. You despised the shame. You did it as me. I don't understand all the issues involved here, but I trust the God of Calvary. I yield in obedience. Right here, right now. Lord, you set your face like a flint toward Jerusalem. And on that week before, that Passover week, you rode the symbol of a servant into Jerusalem. You didn't ride a horse, a stallion. You didn't ride an instrument of war. But you rode an instrument of service in love. For he who is greatest of all is servant of all. Oh, blessed Jesus, thank you for your ministry to us today. And so minister to us that we can become to others a living expression of what you are to us, and thereby be conformed to your image. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and serve him in his presence. Daily live. I surrender all. I invite you to make that prayer yours. Maybe we could sing that chorus, I surrender all. Do you know it? We can do it without piano if you can. I surrender all. All right. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all again. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Praise God. Before we have our break, if there's any kind of ministry you sense the Lord wanting to do at this moment, take your liberty. After the break, we'll come back and have some sharing time and move on into our wonderful love feast. And let me say that ours is a love feast. We realize we're ecumenical and come from various communities of the faith. And so some of us would not be free, really, in our spirits to take Eucharist or Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper if it was not within the framework of our own doctrinal expression. So we're going to move into this realm of love feast, where you bring within yourself your understanding of sacrament. You bring within yourself your understanding of Holy Communion. And as we have the love feast together, we're going to share in the fellowship and let the Holy Spirit make it to us what we need it to be. So don't feel like you're violating your faith by coming to our table this morning. It is a love feast as such, and the church has always had room for love feasts.
This is the end of the message. Please run your recorder and fast forward so that the tape will be ready for playing next time.